Thank you for joining us this morning. The kids can go ahead and go back to kids' worship if they haven't already. And we in here are going to continue along with this lesson series that we began in February on God's tough love. And we're going to look once more this morning at the text of Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be looking at verse 5 through 11. I think that's very important that we do that. If you will, it's kind of the base for our study, though it is not the only place where this is taught or declared, but it's put forth pretty plainly. It will be on the overhead for you, the New Living Translation. And Hebrews 12, verse 5, the Holy Spirit says there, "My child, do not ignore it when the Lord disciplines you. And do not be discouraged when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as his children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children after all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, should we not all the more cheerfully submit to the discipline of our heavenly Father and live forever? For our earthly fathers discipline us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God disciplines us, and his discipline is always right and good for us because it means we will share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." Now, did you notice the mention in verses 9 and 10 of the discipline we receive from our earthly fathers? Have any of you ever received discipline from an earthly father? You did. Now, though it suggests very strongly in the text that their discipline was, and maybe even presently, is not perfect, even at its best, that it may have fallen short, maybe very short, of the kind of discipline God wanted for earthly fathers to exercise, there's certainly implication here, isn't there? That there's something for us to learn from the experience. There's something to learn from that experience. So I'm going to share one primary example of a lesson I learned from my dad. And I'm suspecting that you may see some similarities and things you may have learned from your own. Now, first of all, I want to say this, is that my dad rarely laid a hand on me. Notice I said rarely. Mom usually was the one who was delegated that responsibility to exercise the physical discipline. Dad was at work a lot. But I do remember one time, specifically, he had told me time and time again, along with the other kids, you know, don't climb on the roof. Now, why would a child have to be told that? Especially a boy. Now, we climbed on the roof occasionally. He told us, get off that roof, I told you. And then my older brother, dared me to get up on the roof of the garage, which was a little lower than the rest of the house, and go ahead and jump. Yeah, you know, jump. But then I could jump, you know. I would be okay, I wouldn't be hurt. Come on, you're brave, that kind of thing. I could tell you a lot of stories about my older brother daring me to do things, and you would think I would have learned. But guess what? I jumped. And I hurt myself. Not severely, but I was hurt, and I was laying there, and my brother ran the house and told, and you know, because he was concerned about me. And my dad came out, and he was all concerned about me, too. But once he saw that I wasn't seriously injured, he gave me a swat. I told you not to do that. Don't do that. You see why I warned you? Yeah. So that did happen. But that's not the primary one that I want to share with you today. I was about 11 by this time, I think. About that time frame. And we were playing baseball in the neighborhood lot that was across the road, the little drive from Mr. Hagen's house. Though I didn't really think this way at the time. I didn't think Mr. Hagen was really such a nice guy because he was very meticulous and fastidious about his lawn and his house. And we had learned that unless you want scolded, a tongue lashing, you did not get on his grass. You didn't walk across his lawn. Didn't do that. He was very, very... And so I kind of surmised from that he was just a mean and a scholarly guy. Anyway, we're playing ball. And I'm up to bat, and I hit a ball. Man, and I hit it harder and farther than probably I'd ever hit it up to that time. Foul. And it skipped across the road, made a couple more bounces, and broke his storm door glass. I don't think he was home at the time, but I didn't stick around to find out. We all scattered like a bunch of scared rabbits. We ran for the hills. We seriously did. And in the process of that, we didn't even go to try to retrieve the ball. Just left it. Well, the next day was my dad's day off, and when I got home from school, he called us boys aside and he said, Mr. Hagen came over to see me today. Had the ball in his hand. He said, someone broke his storm door window. You guys know anything about it? I pled ignorance. I did. But my older brother sold me out. The first thing my dad did was scold me for lying. And then guess what he did? He marched me right over to Mr. Hagen's house. Had me ring the doorbell. Apologize, you know, confess, I did it. Apologize to him. And then he told me to do something that I didn't quite understand. He said, I want you to assure Mr. Hagen that you will make sure the door is repaired by the end of the day. And I thought, I don't see any way that's going to happen. I had about $2 in my pocket left from, you know, mowing lawns. And, well, let's just say if there were any young girls who might have found me handsome in school, that was a big if, they wouldn't probably have ever seen a reason to call me handy. That's a red-green quote, by the way. You can look that up. But yeah, if the women don't find you handsome, at least they should find you handy. Well, they wouldn't have maybe found me either one. Because I just didn't really... I was good at breaking things. Can anybody identify with that? I was good at breaking things. But when it came to repairing them or fixing them, no, didn't have any skills there. Really didn't care to learn any skills. My idea was you break it, have mom and dad replace it. Right? Just have them get me a new one. Well, I did do what he told me to do. He's right there with me when I did it. And then we went back to the house, and Dad got a measuring tape, and he got a couple little tools, and he escorted me right back over to Mr. Hagen's to measure for the new pane. And then we got in the car, and he drove me to the hardware store to get the new pane of glass, and he paid for it. Remember, I only had like $2. He paid for it, and then we headed straight back to Mr. Hagen's house, and that's where he helped me install it, the new glass. Well, that's not quite true. It was like I helped him. And I wasn't a lot of help. It was, you know, like maybe I would kind of help hold the glass in place or hand him some putty or a putty knife. Yeah. But really, it was more like watching him rather than me doing it. Once it was done and we cleaned up our mess, Dad stepped back off the porch. And he said, ring the bell. And he said, I want you to apologize again. And I want you to ask Mr. Hagen if it's acceptable. I did. He came to the door. He looked it over very, very carefully. And then I didn't know what he was going to say for sure, but he did say, well, I got to admit, it looks pretty good. Matter of fact, good as new. Then he just took a look at my dad, didn't even look at me again, say another word, closed the door. So Dad and I went back to the house. And when we got there, Dad pulled out his wallet, and he pulled out that receipt for the glass, and he handed it to me. I said, what's this? Well, he said, I want you to pay me back. I want you to pay me back for that expense, the cost of the pane of glass. I said, well, Dad, you know, I only make a few bucks a week. He said, it's all right, I'll take installments. I didn't know what that meant. Huh? He said, I'll take payments. Okay. And then he just looked at me, and I'll never forget this. He said, well, what'd you learn, boy? I got to pay for my mistakes. That was my understanding. He said, somebody has to. But only you can own up to them. Accidents happen, he said. But lying's a choice. And running from responsibilities too. So, but when we fess up and we ask for help, things can often be made right again. Then, as I recall, he kind of tousled my hair a little bit, like an Indian rub burn kind of a thing. And he said, let's go eat. Now, he never said another word about it, even when I would, over the next couple of weeks, take him some money. He would just take it and put it in his pocket. And nothing said. My dad wasn't a Christian then. He didn't take me to Sunday school. Didn't take me to church. But without realizing it, my father taught me a lesson about my heavenly father. The value of loving discipline. That I didn't fully appreciate from him then, or really understand how it could apply spiritually either. But he did teach me something about that. It wasn't long after that the rest of my family did start attending church. Dad didn't, but Mom and the kids did. And I learned some lessons there. Wasn't familiar with the scripture until that point, but I was listening and I was reading for myself and learning. And if you read through the book of Romans, particularly 3 through 6, you'll get some concepts there that I'm just going to highlight for you that I learned from my Heavenly Father, from His Word. I'd broken something a lot more valuable than a storm door. I'd broken a relationship with Him that I didn't even know I had. I'd broken God's laws. Didn't even know what a lot of them were. But I'd broken them nonetheless. Ignorance was not an excuse. I'd broken promises. I learned that. And I'd broken some hearts. And though, you know, at 11 or 12, I was noticing young girls. I'm not talking romantically here about breaking their hearts. But I broke my mom's heart a time or two. My dad's too, I think. And I learned I broke God's heart. And eventually that broke my heart. I'd not been aware of some of it. Some of it I was, and I was denying. And even wanted to deny as I was learning it. Now this, part of me just wanted to run and hide. Just run and hide. Somehow to get away from what I'd done not dwell upon it, not think about it, not be confronted with it. Maybe you've been there. Wanted to escape the consequences, wanted to escape the feelings, wanted to escape all of that. But my Heavenly Father knew me better than I knew myself. And He knew everything I'd done. But what I was learning is He still loved me. He loved me so much, He sent His Son for me. And through His Spirit and through the teaching of the Word, He convicted me that I needed to own up to my sin. I needed to confess the truth. And one thing I learned very quickly was I was too broke to pay for all I broke. I lacked the ability within myself to make amends. Good news was, again, my Father in Heaven paid the price I couldn't afford. Up front. Again, in sending His Son. In Jesus giving His life for me. And there's more good news there, is that He was willing to walk me through a process of repentance. He repaired the rift in our relationship. And He helped me to begin to repair some other things too. Well, I'm going to rephrase that. He did the work. I watched. And He made things like new. Like new. He also charged me, though, with the responsibility from then on to learn from my mistakes. Make better choices. And though not meant to guilt or browbeat me, a little bit like that receipt, He did want me to remember just how much His love for me cost Him. He paid a huge price for my sin. I worked on that a little while. Greed choices, lies, lustful thoughts, fits of rage, harsh judgments, hurt words, selfish attitudes, prideful acts, quantity, too many. Price, unity. out of this world. Way too much. But God so loved me. He sent His Son. He sent His Son. He did that. The debt for my sins was far greater than I could ever hope to pay. Praise be to God, He paid. I'd never even be able to afford the interest. A lot of things go on in my heart and mind when I take communion. One of them is I do remember the price that was paid. I do remember the cost. But I remember that whenever I consider the cross, not just at communion. Whenever I think about Jesus' sacrifice, whenever I see that, whenever I think about that, whenever I visualize that, whenever I'm reminded of that, I'm reminded again of how much His love for me cost Him. And I'm overcome with conviction time and time again. Now, thinking back on the incident of the storm door, you know what? I felt loved even in the midst of the discipline. And someone might say, well, how? Why? My dad's hand on my shoulder, even when he was correcting me. His presence for my confession. Him being right there to back me up. His help in the chore of repairing the damage. And as I said before, it's a lot more than help. And when I opened my wallet to pay for the damage, my dad never made me feel like there was a problem between us until the debt was paid. Because it was already paid. never made me feel that. And I think sometimes that's the way we feel, though. We feel like we owe this incredible debt to God, and we're not going to be right with God until we pay it. Listen, folks, hear me. It's been paid. It's paid in full. He loves you. And if there's any discipline going on, it is not about that. It's because he, what? He loves you. And he wants you to learn. I never once doubted that Dad loved me. He never rubbed my nose in my sin. I didn't really appreciate that fully at the time. I don't know that even yet today I fully appreciate. But I'm learning to appreciate more and more my Heavenly Father. His correction says, I care for you. And I expect better from you because I want better for you. Your sin and shortcomings don't diminish my love for you one iota. And I trust that you'll understand in time that my discipline is actually a testimony of that truth, that I love you and I want better from you because I want better for you. I want you to experience the joy and the peace that can come in life. One final thought for today. According to Ezekiel 18, in two places actually it's said slightly differently, but Ezekiel 18:23 and Ezekiel 33:11. It tells us the Lord does not delight in the discipline of his children. Actually, what it says is the Lord takes no delight in the death of the wicked, let alone in the discipline of his children. He gets no joy from seeing us suffer. You know what gives him pleasure? In our learning and in our turning to him. Even when he disciplined his children Israel, and these words in Ezekiel are addressed to Israel, his chosen ones, his children. And there's application to us, church. Amen? That the joy he finds is when we are going through hardship and difficulty, and even if we perceive it to be something that he's allowing or directing, we'll talk more about that next week, or it's just the difficulties in this fallen world, what's he wants to do? Learn from it and turn to him. Turn to him for strength, for direction, for counsel. To turn to him in repentance if necessarily, to return to him if we've strayed. Because what overjoys him is us. He loves us. And he wants what's best for us. He loves us. Let's pray. Well, God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name. For your love. And God, it's not something that I just readily do or even think about doing when I'm having difficult times to say, God, oh wow, it's obvious that you love me. It's evident that you love me. But God, once again, we have to accept what your truth says, your word says, that your love can be seen even in the discipline, whatever that might be. So, Father, help us to trust you, to lean on you, and to learn from you, and to grow. The better things you want for us are the best things that could ever be. And we'll find them in listening and learning and turning to you. Father, if there's anyone here today who is far removed from the relationship with you that you desire, I pray, God, that they'll realize that running from you is not the answer. If they're going through extreme hardships and pain and heartache, running from you is not the answer. It's to listen and learn and return. That's the answer. Thank you for Jesus who makes that possible, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.